about him like smaller versions of himself wherever he was. The sun is over the tops of the trees, flooding down into the small clearing around the house. All of the fans are blowing at all of the windows, so the house hums as if it's alive. Big Henry sleeps on the sofa. Randall is snoring in his room. Daddy's door is closed. The chicken coop stands with three walls still, the tractor lightly touching it as if providing a thick, rubber-muscled shoulder to lean on. Junior is watching a rerun of Reading Rainbow, the volume so low it's barely louder than the fans. He doesn't turn it up. We left Skeeta in the shed last night. He didn't run with us to the car. When we came back to the house, he was asleep in his bed in the room he shares with Randall, wrapped up in his sheet, so I only saw the lump of him. He wore his shoe still, and they stuck out of his blanket like bristles on a toothbrush. In place of the curtain, he dragged a piece of tin he'd salvaged, probably from Mother Lisbeth and Papa Joseph's roof, and wedged it across the door of the shed. China was a lump, as pale as biscuit dough, laying out in the dirt, her chain attached to a car's half-eaten skeleton. He'd separated her from the puppies. When I woke up this morning, he was gone, and so was China. Daddy is propped up on pillows when I walk into the bedroom, a bowl of chicken noodle soup on a potholder before me, a little of it dribbling around the edges. He's eating crackers one by one, placing them between his lips and then pulling them in. His chewing sounds like crumpled notebook paper. I put down the bowl and the spoon on the night table, cluttered with a glass of water from the tap, a Budweiser can he's been using as an ashtray and his medicine for pain and infection. His arm is resting on a hill of old blankets and crocheted pillows, which Randall piled last night. Daddy's watching the 13-inch black-and-white television sitting on the wide, mirror dresser across from the bed. He hasn't changed a thing here since Mama died. There are small glass candle holders with tall peach candles wedged into them, and two small bunches of fake flowers in squat vases that look like cups that Mama placed at both ends of the dresser. There are pictures of us, Polaroids, which Mama wedged between the glass and the frame of the mirror. There's one picture of her and Daddy standing chest to chest in a frame. Her hands are on his shoulders, her hair ironed straight and pulled back smooth, her dress cut open in the front so that it shows her collarbone, as dense and burnished and beautiful as a brass doorknob. She smiles without opening her mouth. Daddy doesn't smile at all, but his hands are around her back, and he has that serious, prideful tilt of his head that Skeeta has when he's standing with China at a dogfight, showing her off before the mad scramble, the cutting barks and teeth.
"Play with the antenna," Daddy says.
His voice sounds dry as the cracker. He leans over and pulls a wicker tray from next to the bed and drags it across his lap. The bowl wobbles in his left hand. He spills some of the soup on the potholder when he sets it down. There's only static. I grab the right antenna, yank it up.
"Down," Daddy says.
The box fan in the window isn't pushing any air in the room. Every day seems hotter than the last. I grab the left antenna, split them one from the other like a wishbone.
"There.
Katrina has made landfall in Florida, miles from Miami." It's the local news. The weather woman is speaking with the anchor, and she's pointing at the interactive screen before her. But the television is so old and the resolution so bad that the map looks like concrete and the storm an oil stain.
"Early reports say that there are some dead. Does anyone idea of where... projection of storm?"
Mike's voice is even, smooth, when we catch it through the static.
"Unclear. The storm is currently a Category 1. Could weaken. Could change."
The woman's hair is light. She may be blonde. So what would you advise our listeners to, Rachel?
The TV gives a static moan, so I split the two parts of the antenna further.
Prepare as well as they can for the storm. Katrina is on the, if it doesn't weaken, moving northwest. They should also prepare.
Government will issue orders for mandatory evacuation.
So what does this mean?
This means that our viewers may...
Preparations to remain in their homes for the hurricane, and instead may want to begin possible evacuation.
Rachel appears to be smiling.
I can't see, Ish.
I step aside. Mike turns to the camera.
Highways will be open for evacuation. It's better to leave earlier. Hours stuck in traffic.
You're still in the way,
Daddy says. He blows his soup and stirs it with his spoon, but he doesn't eat. And instead, he lets his good hand drop behind the wicker across his lap. Mama smiles serenely from the photo. She has no idea that 3 years later, she will be bleeding to death in the bed that Daddy now lays in with three of his fingers missing. In one of the Polaroids, I'm dancing in the kitchen. It's at one of Mama and Daddy's parties where his friends and one or two of hers would gather to drink beer and eat oysters and potatoes, fried golden in the same oil and silt and salt. Mama would plug in the cassette deck radio in the kitchen, put in tapes by Bobby Blue Bland, Denise LaSalle, and Little Milton, and I would dance while the crowd clapped and laughed at my jerky hand swinging, all of us sweating in the kitchen. Mama would say, "That's my baby, my dancing girl." And I would kick extra or wave my arms harder. The music would wring me dry. Now I look at myself and at Mama, at the leaping Randall and the dark-eyed and grinning Skeet, who looks in his picture as if he's worm-ridden, and barely resists snatching the pictures from the mirror, taking them to my room, laying them across my bed to attempt to decode them, to fit them together like a jumbo puzzle.
Preparation? Key, Rachel says.
I shut Daddy's door. China is breath-barking. Every time she inhales, she exhales with a bark, flat and strong as a slap. The sound is carrying through the woods. On the back step, I hear her as if she's drawing closer, but I don't see her appearing with Skeeta at her side. There's only the day, hotter than the one that came before it, dense as water approaching boiling. And then her voice catches. There are other dogs in the woods near the house, on the other side of the pit, down the winding, gravel-eaten length of the street, and they bark with her. They ring her like a chorus. Their voices crackle across the sky, all places at once. Somewhere out there, I know Skeeta is in the middle of these dogs, pulling them to him. He's the hand on the leash. He's the palm. He flexes and they come. He looses his grip and they spread to the red dirt, the pines, the creek, the oaks. They howl. They hack. China gives a great shout, and all at once, they are silent. Randall's game is today. I wipe the bathroom mirror with my palm, and the glass cracks at the edges, the reflective surface flaking away like glitter. I oil my hands, rub them through my hair, which calms into ringlets. I pick two bobby pins that Mama left in a plastic case under the sink, and I slide them into my hair behind my ears so that it frames my face like a pillow. Junior is singing along with the television, the words indecipherable, his voice higher pitched than a girl's. I smile, turn my head to the right, to the left. This is what I look like, I think. This is the lie. Skeet is a smell before I see him. The oily sweat of dog, pine needles growing green, and an unwashed stink like milk set too long out in the hot kitchen.
He stops in the doorway. I run Vaseline across my lips, rub them together, try to make them glossy. What was that noise?
What you talking about?
China barking like crazy? Outside, Randall is dribbling. I can see him out of the window, shooting, throwing the ball at the house when it rebounds, catching it, throwing it again. The sun is directly overhead, pouring down into the clearing where he practices. He's warming up. The ball isn't full with air, so each time that he touches the ball, it's more like a slap.
Nothing.
The neck on Skeeter's shirt is stretched as a bib. He looks down at it, shakes his head, grabs it with both hands, and pulls. The shirt rips. The newly sprouted hair on his head is prickly as Velcro.
It didn't sound like nothing.
The shirt is black, so what is wet on it is sweat. It couldn't be blood. I would know. Skeeter drops the tea and it slaps wetly on the tile. The smell of him moves through the room like smoke from burning wet leaves.
She forgot.
Forgot what?
Who I was yesterday.
Don't you mean she forgot the puppy?
Randall catches the ball each time it springs from the backboard and throws it back up. He's not letting it touch the earth. He's saving it from making that flat, collapsing sound again and again. His lips turn down at the corners, smiling.
No, she forgot me.
Skeeter bends, turns on the tap in the tub, lifts the hook for the shower. The spray from the water is cold, a fine mist. How long you gonna keep China on that chain?
Long as it takes.
Skeeter kicks his shoes across the floor, once, twice.
As long as it takes.
He peels his socks away like banana peels, and the smell of them is rotten. My stomach shudders. Big Henry is perched on the hood of his car. Marquise sits next to him, leaned over almost double so that he looks like a crab, all back and arms and legs, as he rolls a blunt on the blue metal. China faces Big Henry, tongue lolling pink and straight as an exclamation mark. She smiles and then grimaces, over and over, so that she has two faces. The pink of the pit on her coat is overlaid by a brown scum, which etches the lines of her muscles in her shoulder, haunch, and back clean and clear as marker. Big Henry lists sideways, tipping lightly as if he's on the verge of running. I put my hands in my short shorts, look down at the tennis shoes that I've scrubbed until they're as close to white as they can get. Off-white, a dirty cream the color of egg whites cooked with pepper. Big Henry turns away from China, who is grimacing again. I sit close to Big Henry's windshield on the other side of Marquise, who scoots forward to make room for me.
You think he ready?
Who?
Marquise asks.
I wasn't talking to you, fool.
Big Henry laughs before biting it off with glances at China and me.
Skeeter?
I ask. Big Henry shakes his head across the careful shifting and picking and measuring that Marquise is signaling with the hitch of his back.
Randall.
Right now, Randall would probably be squeezed into the bathroom with Skeet, either hissing at him to hurry up and get out of the shower, or washing off with a rag and soap over the sink, dripping suds all over the counter, the floor, the toilet, taken to ignoring Skeet, probably thinking about the game. He's been too tall to wash in the sink for years.
He fast. He'll be ready soon.
I mean the game.
Big Henry smiles a little then, just a dimpling at the corner of his lips.
Oh. I nod, my face hot.
He been practicing all day. He ready. My sweat is making the back of my thighs slick. I'm sliding down the metal like mud gone downhill in a bad rain, coming to a slow, sticky stop on Marquise's back.
Well, damn, Esh. I didn't know you wanted me like that.
Marquis turns and smirks around the blunt he's licking shut. He winks at me, his tongue wide at the edges, bits of the cigar paper flaking off and sticking like food. I know that wink, that grin. He smiled like that when he was done when we had sex for the last time about a year ago, when he was wiping himself, turned away from me. He threw that smile like salt over the shoulder. I grip the seam where the windshield joins the hood, and I pull myself away from him so that we're no longer touching. I don't like his smile.
Leave her alone, Marquise. I'm just fucking with her. Too hot out here for you to be fucking with anybody.
I slide down the side of the car, stand, look down so I can pull my shorts so they're not bunching in my crotch, showing me. When I finally look up, Big Henry's looking at me with the same dazed half-intensity he showed China, as if he's staring but thinking of something else. I shrug, and then when I realize that there was no question asked, I shrug again. I'ma get Randall. I break into a walk and stutter to a run. Feel them watching. When we leave for the game, Daddy's asleep. I leave a full cup of water and a packet of crackers on the bedside table and push his bottles of medicine closer together so they're easier for him to reach. He sleeps with his mouth open, his face slack with medicine and drools. Where Junior's or Randall's sleep faces are babyish, fat and smooth, Daddy's sleeping face is Skeeta's, puckered, the skin pulling, the face frozen in fight. From the dresser, Mama beams at me, hands caressing Daddy, smiling. I'm glad to be sitting in the back seat by the window in the car, Junior's bony rump squirming on my lap, Skeeta in the middle pulling at the blunt, Marquise next to him at the other window, opaque through a cloud of smoke. Big Henry's head could be any other boy's head under his baseball cap, and Randall leans on the headrest, his eyes closed, everything still, but his eyelids jumping like dragonflies. I don't think that he's dreaming. Junior shifts, and I hold him tight. He's my shield. The summer league game is in the gym at St. Catherine's Elementary School. Ms. Dado told us once that the elementary school used to actually be the black school for the district before the schools were desegregated in 1969, after the last big hurricane, when people were too tired finding their relatives' uprooted bodies, reburying them, sleeping on platforms that used to be the foundations of their houses, under tents, biking or walking miles for fresh water, for food, to still fight the law outlawing segregation. Daddy went to this school when it was all black, and Mama too. On one of their blues nights after I had danced myself to shaking, Mama told the story of how they met, that Daddy would not stop pulling her hair in the hallway, making fun of her little girl pigtail since the rest of her was so grown, and of how she turned around one day and hit him in the chest so hard he lost his breath. Then he stopped pulling her hair, but started leaving presents in her desk instead. Pieces of pecan candy he'd stolen from his grandma. Whole pecans wrapped in newspaper. Blackberries dusted with ditch dirt, hot from the sun, leaking black juice. That was their beginning. Now there's construction paper taped in makeshift galleries along the wall by the door. They flutter in the wind, driven by the industrial fan, and at the concession stand, a woman with finger waves, a gold tooth, and lips the color of azaleas, rolls her eyes at Junior, who drags his feet when we pass her. Moles fade to freckles in a messy paint splatter across her face. Bags of potato chips are laid out on her folding table in rows, one against the other, orderly and even. I grab Junior's bony shoulders and push him to the top of the stands where we sit. The inside of the gym is dark, the steel ceiling beams lost in a humid haze like cloud cover. It's hotter here at the top of the bleachers. Big Henry sits next to Marquise, who sprawls on one elbow and tries to wheedle a sports drink out of him. Randall's already on the court doing drills, tossing the ball to his teammates as they weave in and out of each other in knots and make layups, palm rebounds in lazy arcs. Skeeta sinks into the bleachers until his butt is resting on the floor, his legs kicked out so that his soles are on the court, his arms spread wide across the seat behind him. The corded gather of him eases. He wipes his forehead with the hem of his shirt, and it beads again. He nods languidly. He's smiling, his teeth white and even, glistening bone. He is high.
"You're surprised I came?"
Skeeta speaks to the court, his smile grown slack. He blinks solemnly.
"Yeah?" "What's been done, been done."
Skeet shrugs. His shoulders rise and settle like sleek feathers.
"China gon' come back to me. To herself. Soon."
"You bring them back by her to feed yet?"
"Yeah. I held her muzzle shut. Every time she move her head toward them, I pop her on her nose."
"You think the other three puppies gon' make it?"
"Fucking right they gon' make it."
Skeeta lays his head back on the bleacher behind his shoulders. He swallows, and his Adam's apple slides like a mouse down the gullet of a snake.
"This ain't beating me."
Junior's tapping me on my leg, beating out Morse code.
"Esh?"
"Go ahead. Stay away from the concession stand."
Junior smiles, teeth missing in the front, and then swallows it and tries to look trustworthy enough to stay away from the snack table.
"And don't try to steal nothing neither."
Junior squeals, his mouth turned down at the corners to plead.
"No."
"Here."
Big Henry's reaching into his pocket, cupping loose change like marbles. He drops the coins in Junior's hand, which Junior cups and holds before him. He leaps down the stands, his t-shirt billows behind him like a limp flag.
"Not even a thank you."
Marquise rubs his braids.
"Thank you!"
Junior screams. Big Henry rests his elbows on his knees, shakes his head. Huddled over, his face a surprise emerging from the broad bowl of back. He glances over at me, and it's as if he passed the money to me, as if he dropped it in my hand like chalky pecan candy, like mealy pecans, sun-blackened blackberries. Skeeta's blinking half-lidded at the game, where Randall and his teammates are already glazed with sweat, shining darkly in the dim light like the rain-drenched stone that lines the muddy beach of the pit. Big Henry asks the air in front of him, but everyone knows who he's speaking to.
"You want something?"
His hands are so different from Manny's, so large, and they are slow-moving as the sheaves of the stunted palm trees planted at odd places along the beach, alien to the Mississippi Gulf, as they bear the dragging wind made slow by the barrier islands.
"No," I say. "I have to go to the bathroom."
I maneuver around clumps of boys and girls, some I go to school with, some from Bois Sauvage and St. Catherine, until I reach the bottom of the bleachers. Still, the gym is more than half empty. All of the parents, six or seven of them, and their toddlers, sit on the first row only. Girls slap and slide along the benches while still sitting. Boys wear white tees, sleeveless shirts, caps, basketball shorts. There's laughter, shrill calls. Everyone is flirting, saying in nudges and jokes and blushing what they would do in private. On the court, Randall's already blinking hard at the sweat blinding him. His shirt sticks to him on the sides, close as a bud. He goes up for a rebound, rises up out of the cluster of players, but they buzz angrily and he falls. The referee whistles, and Randall walks to the foul line, bouncing on the balls of his feet. Nothing about him seems to touch anything else. The court, the ball, his shirt that he picks at so that his skin can breathe. He's a bayou crane, alighting so he doesn't even sink into the black marsh before taking off in flight.
Excuse you.
Bumping into him is a shock. He is solid, stocky with the kind of chest men get when their bulky muscles start softening to seed. His fresh fade has a tinge of red in the brown, which lights up when he tilts his head at me as it catches the light coming in through the door. He has a gold grill in, the same grill that he had in on the day that he and Skeeta made at China and Kilo. He opens his mouth further, and the letters are stamped in spit-shine jewels, one on each tooth, into the gold. R-I-C-O. Sorry. Manny stands to one side behind him. He's wearing blue, and he and Shalia and Rico must be fresh from the barbershop, for his curls have been cut close so that they're only black waves, but his face stands out without the hair framing it. Beautiful. The strong nose, the jaw leading to a hollow where there is a fresh purple mark, the shiny scar on his face making the rest of his skin even more vivid. He jerks his head up, raises his eyebrow in the easy, what's up way boys acknowledge each other. To me. Shalia's in sandals and a miniskirt next to him. All dips and swells, like a badly rutted road worn smooth by the rain. She wears gold earrings, bracelet, and a necklace, even here where we don't have to pay for admission.
What's up?
Rico says, and I'm veering over the edge of the court as he barrels past me. Manny pulls Shalia's hand and they follow Rico. I wade through a tide of kids at the door, all juniors' age or younger, trading small candies they're sucking from wax paper and salty cheesy chips and neon cold drinks they've scraped the labels off of with their small bony fingers. The bathroom is around the back of the gym in a separate, smaller building, and I run to it. The bathroom is dark, darker even than the gym, and it's small, with only one sink and two dark green stalls. The walls are gray cinder block. I go in the stall farthest from the door, lock it behind me, pee while squatting, and then flush, wipe down the seat, and sit on the bowl, which is narrow enough to feel like a seat. I wedge my nose between my thighs and breathe. My stomach and my shirt, bunched together, feel like a pillow wedged in my lap. I wish I could pull it out. My eyes burn. Inside my chest, a machete swings back and forth, up and down, breaking the living, clearing a pulpy path behind it where green things lie. Leaking. My face is wet against my leg. I stay like that until it stops, until the toilet stops ticking. The door creaks open, and the machete pauses, smelling of sap and metal. I wipe my face with my shirt, open the stall, and he's standing there, pulling the outside door shut behind him, sealing the darkness. This is the girls, I say weakly.
Been thinking about you, says Manny.
And then he's pushed me back into the stall, closed it behind us, grabbed my arms and turned us so that he's sitting on the toilet. He unzips his pants and I grab his dick hard enough to hurt. I want it to hurt. He doesn't wince, intent on my loose shorts. He pulls me down on him so I'm straddling him, and then he's inside. It's easy and wet. He grips my shoulders, pulls me down hard, rolls back away from me, pulls me down again, his face in my chest. It's the first time he's grabbed me over my waist, kept his hands on me closer to my face, touched me, Wait, he says, and then he's making me stand up, pulling off my shorts and underwear, bearing me back down on him. My clothes catch on one ankle, hang like they're half pinned from a clothesline. We've never done it like this. His hands are on my ass, and he tries to look down, to see, but it brings us face to face. Sweat gathers at his hairline, catches on the red grooves left by the clippers, like ant trails, across the top of his forehead. He grimaces, looking down, away, over my shoulder, up to the ceiling. I grab his face. Under my hands, his jaw, freshly shaved, feels like a cat's tongue. My fingers are black as bark against his paler skin. He will look at me. He shrugs, twists his head to the side, flipping like a caught fish. I roll my hips. It's too sweet. He will look at me. He snorts, puts his head down into my shoulder. I pull hard, and my hands slide along his face. I grab again. He will look at me. He grunts, grabbing at my sweaty sides, his eyes closed. His lashes are longer than those of any girls I know. Beautiful. The thumbs of his long hands press into my stomach so he can pull again, but then they stutter. He presses hard again. My belly pushes back. He looks down and back up, eye to eye. All I have ever wanted. Here. He's looking. He's seeing me, and his hands are coming around to feel the honeydew curve. The swell that is more than swell. The fat that is not fat. The budding baby. And his eyes are so black, they are all black. And they are a night without stars. All I have ever wanted. He knows.
Fuck!
Manny yells, and he's throwing me up and off of him. I hit the door behind me, the rough cat tongue of his face gone, and I grip steel, air, nothing. The bathroom smells like the salt of marsh mud, like tadpoles dying in their shrinking shallows, and he's zipping his pants, folding me into the corner of the stall when he opens it, leaving me standing in the dark bathroom, running at the legs, breasts aching with bloom. One of Mama's hair clips hanging from one string of hair before it falls into the toilet, lost in the scummy bowl. I wipe myself, flush the toilet, watch the water spin in a spiral, a baby storm, as it sucks the clip down and down and away. I've crossed the threshold out of the bathroom 3 times, and each time that I think I'm done crying, that I can go back into the game to sit next to my brothers as if nothing has happened, my eyes start leaking and my chest burns, hotter than the bright air with the bees drowsing in the crepe myrtle, and I have to go back into the bathroom. I go in the other stall, pull my feet up, squat on the toilet, smash my face into my salty knees. When I can breathe, I leave the stall to splash cold water on my face, but my eyes still look red, my eyelids swollen in the funhouse mirror. And then I think that Manny saw me, and that he turned away from me, from what I carry, pulling his burnt gold face from my hands. And then I am crying again for what I have been, for what I am, and for what I will be again.
Esh, you all right?
I'm all right.
Big Henry told me to come check on you. I told him that I didn't want to come in the girls' bathroom, but he said,
I'm coming. Hold on. At least my face is dry. Maybe everyone will just think that I'm high. I want to let Junior go ahead of me back around the building to the gym, so I walk slowly. But then he walks slower so he doesn't leave me, and it takes us 10 minutes to walk around to the front.
You okay, Esh?
Junior asks. Desultory claps flit out like small evening bats. Occasional whoops. It sounds empty. Yeah. I'm breathing through my mouth. In the bathroom, I cried so hard I felt nauseous. Kids are milling around the gym door like our chickens, and I expect Junior to run off with them, to leave me to duck into the gym alone, but he doesn't. He loops his arm around my elbow like he's escorting me, and I keep my head down, my eyes half closed, so all I see are anonymous legs, tennis shoes, gold-sandaled feet as Junior leads me up the bleachers. We circle Big Henry, sit up and to the side of Skeeta, so that Junior and I are farthest away from the crowd and the floor, up here in the dark. It's only after I sit that I realize that Manny and his girl and Rico are sitting a few seats below us and to the right. Manny's leaning forward, away from her, as if he would run down the bleachers and into the game. His shirt pulls across his shoulders, his tense back, and I look away.
Ish? Skeeta asks.
He's a little less high now, his eyes a little less dull.
I'm fine.
I try to say it loudly.
Fuck that nigger.
Skeeta touches my knee lightly, punctuates what he says with a nod. It's as if he's touching the sadness in me with his hand, so I move my knee away, smash my lips together. Already I want to cry. He touches my leg again, with one finger this time, lightly, quickly.
Fuck him.
He spits this at Manny's back, loud enough for Big Henry to hear.
What's up?
Big Henry asks. I shake my head and look down. Skeeta slaps the bench with both hands. It echoes loudly. Rico, who was elbowing Manny and talking, his hands like birds, turns at the sound, smiling to show his gold. Manny shakes his head, but Rico gets up anyway, ascends the stairs two steps at a time, and stops in front of me and Skeeta. In the gloom, his teeth shine.
I heard your bitch had our puppies, Rico says.
Our puppies? Skeeta asks.
Yeah, ours. I thought we were splitting them down the middle.
Really?
They healthy?
Why don't you ask your cousin if they healthy?
I want to see them.
Ain't nothing for you to see.
Skeeta sits up slowly from his recline. He hunches over when he speaks, his shoulders curved, his muscles gathering.
What you mean?
It was China's first litter. Lot of them born dead, and lot of them done died.
Manny say one looked just like Kilo. That's the one I want.
It's dead.
Skeeta stands, and he's barely taller than Rico, who's standing a bleacher below him and half Rico's size. But Skeeta tilts his head to the side, squints at Rico, and I know he's not scared, that he'll never be scared.
China killed it, he says,
and there's a lyric in his voice. He almost sings it when he says it. Gleeful.
Well, then I want another one. All they got left for you to have is the runt. What the fuck I want with a runt?
Rico laughs when he says it. It sounds as metallic and hard as his teeth.
Well, that's all I got. That one and a black and white one. Both small.
Skeeta is omitting the white one. The one that's a clone of China.
Manny.
Yeah?
Manny walks up the stairs to us, looks at Skeeta and Rico. I ignore his black eyes.
Thought you said Skeeta got a white one look just like China.
He do,
Manny says.
Ain't it a little early to be trying to claim one of my bitch's puppies?
Skeeta says. He's leaning forward, straining at the leash.
They a week old. You know like I know that if they make it through the first 6 weeks, then they ready to go. So until 6 weeks go by, you ain't got no fucking business claiming shit.
Skeet is smiling, and he's rubbing his thumbs with his fingers. his hands clenched loosely as if he can already feel the sting of them on Rico, on Manny. I know that's who he really wants. Manny. Big Henry and Marquise move with a loping, easy purpose to flank Skeeta.
Y'all little bois sauvage niggas really think y'all run shit? I will fuck y'all up.
Everybody, just chill out, says Manny. It ain't even gotta be like that.
Fuck you.
Skeeta's voice carries, sliding up in pitch, and it breaks his face in pieces.
You a dirty motherfucker. You gon' let that little nigga talk to you like that? If I was you, I'd beat the shit.
It is what Skeeta has been waiting for Rico to say. Skeeta punches Rico. He does it with his whole body, raining down on Rico's wide, sweaty face with the steady fury and quick power of the small, fierce as China. The referees on the floor are blowing their whistles, and people are standing up around us like they're doing a wave. Manny tries to catch his cousin Rico, and Big Henry reaches out to grab Skeeta. But then Manny has pushed his cousin back into Skeeta, volleyed him like a ball, and Manny is punching Skeeta. And Marquise is on Manny, and Big Henry slides his body in between them as a barrier to stop it all, but then Rico punches him, and they are brawling, falling down the stairs, ripping the crowd like fabric. Randall is in the middle of the court, wrestling the ball from the huddle that one referee is screeching into his whistle over, when he stops, distracted by the rumble of the crowd, and sees the boys beating one another down the bleachers, Junior and me, arm in arm, running down the edge of the stands for the door. Randall looks lost on the court, the ball cradled in his limp hand. The other referee is blowing his whistle at Skeeta and Rico and Manny, and Big Henry, and Marquise, who are fighting their way along the side of the court now, the crowd carrying them out of the door in the kind of frothing waves we only get before hurricanes.
Get out of here, Batiste!
Randall's coach yells at him. The green hand towel he's been using to mop his face snaps like a flag in a bad wind.
That's your people, ain't it? That's you! You're done. Go on.
Randall lobs the ball at the wall of the gym, and it ricochets back into the court. Players that aren't frozen by the fight try to catch it. I pull at Junior's arm, and we are the first out of the door. He is fast. Randall jumps in the middle of the fight as it spills out of the door, begins screaming at all of them, calling names, pulling them from their fury one by one until he stands in the middle of them, taller than all of them, black as iron, rigid as a gate.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Who the fuck you think you is?
Rico yells. Manny has him by his shoulder, pulling him backward away from Randall.
Let me go, Skeeta says.
Small scratches mark his face in beads. Big Henry is holding his arm, and Marquise stands next to them, breathing hard, glaring.
I'ma kill that motherfucker. He ain't getting nothing from me. I'm gonna see your little bitch ass tomorrow,
Rico sneers. His lips are bleeding.
With your fucking dog. You know you can't fight no dog just had puppies.
Big Henry steps toward Manny and Rico, stumbling forward with Skeeta. Big Henry's lips are swollen at one side, puffy and wet.
I knew I didn't like this bitch for a reason.
Marquise bites out. His forehead is bruised.
Fuck that, Skeeta says. Fuck that. He ain't getting none of my puppies. Skeeta.
Randall leans into Skeeta, his hand still raised.
You fight her tomorrow in that dogfight and Kilo win, them puppies die. You know that. Kilo ain't gonna win,
Skeeta yells and jerks against Big Henry, who holds him with both arms, hugging him.
You can't,
Big Henry says.
My cousin coming with his dog, Boss. He'll fight for China. If he win, then fuck you,
Marquise says.
And if I win?
Rico asks.
Then fuck you, Skeeta says.
Randall elbows Skeeta in the chest, points one finger at Rico as if he would shush him.
Then you get a puppy, Randall says.
My choice,
Rico husks. Randall looks at Skeeta, nods slowly.
Yeah, your choice.
Skeeta shakes his head.
Fuck them, Skeeta says.
Rico smiles. His name is etched into his golden teeth in blood. Skeeta spits.
Yes, Randall says. Yes.
The eighth day. Make them know.
Ash.
Junior touches me, and I roll away from him.
Are you going to the fight?
I woke up this morning, and I hurt.
Skeeta say I can't go if you don't go.
Someone has been beating me.
He fixing to wash china.
They've been beating me in my sleep.
Him and Randall got into a fight because Randall say he shouldn't be taking her. Say it ain't her place to go.
I won't get up for the bathroom. I don't want to eat.
Say Skeet always being stupid, and we always ruining things, like his game. Say the only way he could go to camp now is if Skeeta came up with the money.
I curl. Under the pillow and sheet, I curl around the hurt, around the slipping secret, like a ball.
Randall dunked the ball so hard this morning, he tore the basket down. He made Skeet fix it.
Junior taps my shoulder.
He broke it. Ash.
I want it to stop. I try to read the entire mythology book, but I can't. I'm stuck in the middle. When I put the book down and wipe my wet face and breathe in my morning breath, ripe to the afternoon under the sheet, this is where I have stopped. Medea kills her brother. In the beginning, she's known by her nephew, who tells the Argonauts about her, for having power, for helping her family, just like I tried to help Skeet on the day China first got sick from the Ivomech. But for Medea, love makes help turn wrong. The author says that there are a couple different versions of how it happened. One says she lies to her brother and invites him onto the ship with the Argonauts as they were fleeing, and that Jason ambushes him. That she watched her brother die, her own face on his being sliced open like a chicken. Pink skin cut to bloody meat. The other version says that she kills her brother herself. That her brother runs away with her and the Argonauts, assuming that he's safe, and that she chops him into bits, liver, gizzard, breast, and thigh, and throws each part overboard so that her father, who is chasing them, slows down to pick up each part of his son. I read it over and over again. It's like she's under the covers with me, both of us sweating to water. To get away from her, from the smell of Manny still on me a night and morning afterward, I get up. Junior is sitting on the floor in the hallway outside of the door.
What you sitting out here for?
Junior shrugs, looks up at me.
I was gonna go outside, but Skeeta getting ready to wash china, and it be getting muddy under the house. Why you didn't wake up?
I was tired.
Daddy asked why you didn't bring him something to eat this morning. Randall told him you didn't feel good.
Randall made Daddy some eggs?
Yeah.
What he doing now?
Sleep. He was hollering about the hurricane. Say it ain't stopping. That the woman on the news say it's coming straight for us. Randall told him to calm down. Him and Big Henry went to the store and got some beer, and then Daddy went to sleep.
Junior follows me down the hall to Daddy's room. Randall has nailed up a blanket over the window, folded it in half over the box fan, which hums and lets in light. Daddy's asleep, sitting up, slumped over like I left him yesterday. The TV is low, a buzzing firecracker. On the screen, there's a map of the Gulf, and Katrina spins like a top, as if the long arm of Florida has just spun it loose. There are two beer cans next to the bed, one open, both of them sweating. I close his door to a crack.
You going to the fight?
Junior touches the back of my arm, and I stop outside of the bathroom. He pinches me, and I look down at him. His big, dark eyes, his missing teeth, his long eyelashes. He opens his eyes wider, looks hopeful.
Huh, Ash? Please?
Who cut your hair?
Randall shaved it this morning. Said it's too hot for hair.
He's right. I palm his light bulb head, shake it.
Ash?
He grins, and he looks like Skeet in the picture in Daddy's room. The air is close, close as the water in the pit. All right, I say. We'll go. I sit sideways on the toilet, rest my arms on the windowsill. My body feels stung all over by catfish. My stomach, the lead sinker. In front of the shed, Skeeta is testing the water from the hose with one hand. It's so hot that I know the water boils fresh out of the faucet. He'll wait until the water runs cold for her. When Skeeta first sprays China, she shakes. She's standing, legs wide, back straight, her head up. She's licking at the water, and it's as if she was never sick. She's coy as a girl with a lollipop, lapping at the hose. She sneezes and closes her eyes, and the dirt starts to run in sheets down her sides. It is the first time that I've seen her off her leash in days.
Come on, Skeeta says. We gonna make you shine.
Skeeta cuts off the water and picks up a mostly empty bottle of dishwashing liquid and empties it on her back. He begins scrubbing, and the soap turns a pink gray. He rubs the soap up the flat, wide length of her head, down her face. He pulls her fur back so that her clenched teeth show, her fangs curving down sharp against her pink gums. Her eyes are slits, half closed in pleasure. She's stretching into Skeet's hands. He's pulling her limber, massaging her. Her nose is up in the air, and she's long and beautiful as an outstretched wing. He kneels in front of her, swipes his hands down her chest, and she licks him, happy.
You came back to me, he says. You shouldn't be taking her.
Randall rounds the corner of the house. I expect to see a ball in his hands, but there isn't. It's like he's missing his nose.
Randall, you can kiss my ass. You ain't got no reason to be mad. I do. She's my dog. Those are my dogs. You were steady fucking up. I had to do something. Fuck that coach.
China's grinning against the pull of her skin again. Skeeta's scrubbing hard. China looks striped.
And fuck Rico. Ain't nothing about China weak. You still ain't thinking about the puppies.
Skeeta turns on the hose. China walks in circles in the water.
Stay!
Skeeta yells, and she stands frozen.
It wasn't your dog to give. And it wasn't your game to fuck up. What am I gonna do about camp? If he would have said that shit to you, you would have jumped him too.
Skeeta grimaces.
And the way he looked at Esh? Rico fucked with Esh?
Randall, who's been pacing a ditch into the muddy yard as he argues, stops. Skeeta snorts, glances at the window where I'm sitting, but the sun is too bright outside. He can't see me. His mouth twists like he's bitten a peach seed, and he laughs once, a bitter, loud bark.
You don't know shit, do you?
Skeeta readjusts his thumb over the hose, so that the water shoots out in two hard sparkling streams. Where it hits China's side, it sounds solid.
You ain't gotta go today. This ain't got nothing to do with you. Why don't you go shoot?
Randall shakes his head, shoves his toe into dry dirt. The dust puffs and drifts in the still air. He looks toward the bathroom, and I sit back so that the tank of the toilet is cool and slippery through my t-shirt.
I'm going, I hear him say. You made a promise. You said you'd pay for camp if they lived, he says louder. All right, Skeeter yells. You kicking up dust, Randall. You just like Daddy, always crazy for something.
I hear the side door of the kitchen scratch open and close as Randall leaves Skeeter to walk into the house. The water stops. I lean so I can barely see out of the window. Skeeter is on his knees before China again, squirting the last of the soap on her coat, rubbing her whiter than white. She is the cold, cloudy heart in a cube of ice.
Look at you shining, Skeeter breathes into China's ear. Cocaine white.
He brushes her, his hand a blade.
Blinding.
The few dirt-scratched yards and thin-sliding houses and trailers of Bois Sauvage seem a sorry match to the woods, like pitting a puppy against a full-grown dog. Here, there are swimming holes that are fat puddles and some the size of swimming pools fed by skinny, clear creeks, but the earth makes the holes black, and the trees make them as filthy with leaves as a dog is with fleas. There are clusters of magnolias that are so tall and green and glossy, they're impossible to climb, and the air around them always smells like peaches. There are oaks so big and so old that their arms grow out black and thick as trunks, which rest on the ground. There are ponds that are filled with slime and tall yellow grasses, and at night, frogs turn them teeming, singing a burping chorus. There are clearings where deer feed, startle white, and kick away. There are turtles plowing through pine straw, mud, trying to avoid the pot. Marquise told us once that he went out into those woods with Bone and Javon after a hard rain to find some mushrooms they could take, and they came across a wolf, lean as a fox, dirty gray, who looked at them like they'd shot at him, and then disappeared. The trail that leads into one of the deeper parts of the woods is up the road away from the house. China leads us, relaxed at the end of her chain. The leash is dull steel, the collar chrome. Skeeter stole it. He's reshaved his head and he wears a hand towel around his neck like a scarf. Big Henry carries Junior on his shoulders, and Randall trails, a big stick in his hand, which Skeeter laughed at him for picking up when we were jumping the ditch, saying, "That ain't gonna do nothing against these dogs." Then he pointed at China and said, "But she will." Randall carries the stick anyway. Marquise is probably already there with his cousin. Crows caw. I listen for the boys and the dogs somewhere out in these woods, but all I can hear is the pine trees shushing each other, the oak bristling, the magnolia leaves hard and wide so that they sound like paper plates clattering when the wind hits them. This wind snapping before Katrina somewhere out there in the Gulf, coming like the quiet voice of someone talking before they walk through the doorway of a room. A cloud passes over the sun and it's dark under the trees. It passes and the gold melts through the leaves, falls on bark and floor. Foil coins. Soon we reach a curtain of vines which hang from the lowest branches to the needle-carpeted earth, and we crawl. Skeeter dusts China's breasts off, waves us on. We've been walking for a long time when I hear the first tiny bark. You tired? Randall asks. No, I say. My stomach feels full of water, hurts with it, but I won't tell him that. I push aside a branch, let it